Now Eli, good position. Seals kicks it out. Gerstner open, three from the left corner. Yes! There's a foul. The basket will count. Gerstner, 6-3 of the Knights. He has a career-high 24.
Pass inside, Porter with a banker. Count the bucket and a foul on Rock Hills. A chance at a three-point play for Addie Poor. She's got four for Osborne early on, and they regain a one-point lead.
Some of the action from last night, high school basketball on our radio stations on KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Scores from last night in girls action. It was Beloit over Smith Center 58-47. And the boys game went to Beloit 78-49. Those are the games on KD Country 94 and the Beloit Trojan Channel last night on Z96.3 Lake. Osborne at Rock Hills. The Osborne girls win 64-46. The Osborne boys win 55-30. And hopefully Dusty will be over here so he can recap those games from last night. Girls play, it was Sylvan Lucas over Lakeside 54-26. Laboratory with 17 lead the way there. Thunder Ridge 54, Pike Valley 48, Ritzky with 21. Concordia girls win over Clay Center 42-38. Southern Cloud over Natoma 32-22. St. John's Tipton girls win last night by a final of 55-26 over Lincoln. Carly Brummer with 20, Lene Gingler with 15 for St. John's Tipton. On the boys' side of things, Sylvan Lucas winning over Lakeside 59-27. St. John's Tipton over Lincoln 70-52. Tyson Gates with 25, Eddie Herenick with 20 lead the way there. Southern Cloud over Natoma 51-19. Pike Valley knocked off Thunder Ridge 61-36. Concordia over Clay Center 69-58 was that final. We'll recap our games from last night coming up in a little bit. Substate brackets will be released later today and can be found at ncksports.com later today as well, also acacia.org. The Kansas Basketball Coach Association final regular season rankings. 3A boys, Beloit number one. They've been number one since December. Ellsworth number six. In 2A boys, Sacred Heart number nine. 1A Division I boys, Osborne fourth. 3A girls, Southeast Saline ranked 10th. They got to share the league title with a win last night over Republic County. So Beloit and Southeast Saline girls share the league title. So Southeast gets a four straight league title. 2A girls, Smith Center ranked 7th. And that was before they lost last night to Beloit. 1A Division I girls, Osborne ranked 10th. 1A Division II girls, St. John's Tipton is ranked 7th. We will hand it to Dusty to recap his games, and I'll recap my games for last night.
Yes, we had the doubleheader with Rock Hills and Osborne there in Mankato. Osborne getting the sweep. Girls game, a 64-46 win for the Lady Dogs. And then in the boys contest, it was Osborne winning 55-30. There were a couple quarters for the home team that went the wrong way where Osborne was able to get some distance and pick up the wins. In the girls game, it was in the second quarter. It was 16-11 after one. Osborne led, and then it was 16-12 after a free throw from Rock Hills, but then a 18-0 run to end that first half for Osborne as they led by 22, 34-12 at halftime. Didn't really look back. You know, Rock Hills fought back in, tried to make it respectable, but in the end it was an 18-point win, as we mentioned, 64-46. 16, a career high for Addison Poor to tie for the team high honors with Gracie Reiner, who had 16 for Osborne. Poor was the co-athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health of Beloit, and Gracie Reiner actually got the block of the game from H&R Block of Beloit. Connection of the game was a buzzer-beating jump shot from Taylor Ellens at the end of the third quarter for Osborne, and also our utility player of the game we gave to Rock Hills senior Hannah Similink, who has been out most of the second semester with an injury, but the two teams agreed upon letting her get the start and get a bucket there at the start of the game, and she scored the two there to start for Rock Hills, and Coach Meisner, in appreciation of Coach Wilson's gesture, gave a free two to Osborne there as well there at the beginning of the game and called the timeout. But I know Hannah Similink only played for about 30 seconds, but she's put a lot of work into the team and the process over the last 4 years in that program, so she was named the utility player of the game from Syncona, Kansas. And Bethany Similink, her younger sister, was a co-athlete of the game. She had 30 points, a career high, had 9 in the first quarter and then scored 14 in the third quarter, including 10 of 10 at the free throw line. So Osborne moving to 17-3, 10-1 on the girls' side in the league. It's a three-way tie for the league title there in the Northern Plains League. Osborne, Sylvan Lucas, and St. John's Tipton. Rock Hills finishes the regular season at 9-9, 6-4 in the Northern Plains League with that loss there yesterday. On the boys' side, again, it was Osborne getting out to a 23-4 lead. They led 41-17 at half and then outscored Rock Hills 10-2 in the third quarter, 51-19 after three with the running clock, 55-30 the final score. Johnny Hamel led the way with 18 points for Osborne, 12 for Nathan Goheen, 11 for Dalton Garman, including 3 3-pointers. Osborne finishes their regular season with an undefeated Northern Plains League championship at 11-0. They're 19-1 going into the postseason. Johnny Hamel was our SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game. The connects to the game, Cunningham telepoint and cable, an assist and a fast break from Hamel to Aiden Conrad. And Doak Guttery of Osborne was our utility player of the game from Syncon of Kansas. The 17th straight win for Osborne this season. They've not lost since early December and on a roll going into the postseason with that victory. Cooper McDill had a game-high 20 to lead Rock Hills. He also got the block of the game from H&R Block and Beloit. Rock Hills finishes their regular season at 6-12 and 4-6 in the Northern Plains League. Once again, Osborne getting the sweep. Girls winning it by a final of 64-46. The boys win 55-30. One thing I do want to note before I got to run back over and get another interview is we have high school basketball locker room chats here tonight on Katy Country 94, and we'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. So be tuning in for those around 5:15 this evening on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com.
All right, so last night the Beloit girls and boys went up to Smith Center to take on the Redmen, and the Beloit Trojans come away with the sweep last night in the girls' game. Beloit winning 58-47. Smith Center ranked 7th in 2A, according to the KBCA, and Beloit snapped a 3-game skid against the Lady Red as Beloit was down 3-0 early. Gracie Kirchhoff, one of her 5 3-pointers on the night. She finished with a game-high, team-high 22. 3-0 Smith Center. Beloit would score the next 10. They led 12-7 into 1, 29-18 in the second, 29-20 at halftime. Smith Center would come back to cut it to 3 in the third quarter. Beloit would push the lead out to 11, 44-33 going into the fourth. Smith Center would scratch and claw their way back to within 5 with about 3:45 to go in the game, but Beloit made enough plays down the stretch, go on to win it by a final of 58-47. Both Smith Center and Beloit girls are 15-5 for their regular season schedule, and Beloit will await whether or not they will be at home or on the road in the first round of Substate. They'll play Minneapolis one way or the other. We do know that part. And the Smith Center girls will more than likely play Hill City in the first round. They will be the 2 seed. We know that in their Substate. Smith Center was led by Gracie Kirchhoff with 22 points and 10 points for Tinley Rentschler. Smith Center now 15-5 on the season. Beloit improves to 15-5. They're led by Addie Budke, who had a career-high 20 and 12 points added by Cassandra Thompson. And Budke and Kirchhoff were our SNS Drug and Home Health Athletes of the Game. The Syncon of Kansas Utility Players of the Game. Leah McKelvey, a freshman at Smith Center, with 7 off the bench. Brecken Boudreaux, sophomore for Beloit, with 8 off the bench. And the Cunningham Telephone and Cable Connection of the Game, Cassandra Thompson to Olivia Wright for a layup. And Olivia Wright had the block of the game for H&R Block in Beloit as the Beloit girls once again win last night by a final of 58-47. Boys contest, it was a barrage of 3-pointers, especially in the first quarter, as Smith Center and Beloit combined to make 8 threes in the first quarter and combined to make 12 threes in the first half. And at the end of the day, Smith Center made 8 threes on the night and Beloit made 9, as Beloit led 31-17 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, it was just, everybody was making shots. Noah Gershner hit 3 threes in the first quarter. Reed Doan hit a couple of threes in the first quarter for Smith Center. And Smith Center was down 31-17 at the end of one and then went on a 10-0 run to start the second quarter to pull within 4, 31-27. Beloit would respond with a 12-3 spurt. They led by 13 at halftime, 48-35. And then Beloit, you could see there was more intensity defensively. They tightened the screws and tightened the clamps on Smith Center in the third quarter. Smith Center only made 1 3-pointer the rest of the game after having 7 in the first half. Beloit outscored Smith Center 20-4 in the third quarter. And Beloit goes on to lead by 29 at the end of 3, go on to win by 29. 78-49 was the final. Third quarter was the separator for Beloit. Beloit, the number one team in 3A. They have won 9 in a row. They finished the regular season at 19-1. Had an undefeated league title at 10-0 in the NCAA. They only lost this year to Olathe North, who's ranked fifth in the final regular season polls from the KBCA in Class 6A. Noah Gerstner led the way. He had the hot hand. He had 24 points, 6 3-pointers. 6 threes match a career high. 24 is a career high for Noah. And he now has back-to-back games where he's had at least 5 made threes, 5 against Minneapolis, and then 6 last night at Smith Center for a new career high. He was our SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game for Beloit. Reed Doan, a sophomore at Smith Center, at 15, 13 in the first half, hit 3 threes. He was our SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game for Smith Center. Bryce Beisner had 20 points last night. Bryce is always solid. You could give him Athlete of the Game almost every single game. Eli Johnson had a solid night, 13 points, a couple of block shots. He had the block of the game for HR Block and Blate. Never settle for less. Wyatt Overmiller chipped in with 13, all in the first half, and 3 threes for Smith Center. Smith Center now 9-11 overall going into sub-state play and have a chance to have a first-round game at home in sub-state, depending on how everything broke last night. The Cunningham telephone cable connection to the game was Quinn Eilert on a beautiful lob pass to Bryce Beisner, a couple of those actually last night. In the SinCon of Kansas utility players of the game for Smith Center, Wyatt Overmiller, and for Beloit, Eli Johnson, as the Beloit boys knock off Smith Center for the 6th time in a row and for the 14th time in the last 15 games, as the Beloit boys win 78-49. They never trailed in the game, but Smith Center made it interesting there in the second quarter. Of course, people probably know by now, my son plays on the Beloit team, so he had a really nice night last night. He had 2 3-pointers that were halfway down and out. One of them went all the way around, hung on the bridge. I don't know how it didn't go in, but he had his career high last night. There's a thing they have on Facebook. I don't do this, but my wife participates. It's called Senior Sunday, I guess. I don't know if it's a thing or what, but she posted a picture of me holding my oldest son when he was a toddler, or even smaller than that, and I was holding him to slam the ball into the basketball goal outside on our driveway, and now he's 17 and going to be 18 very soon. He's a senior, and I had a friend of mine, Cody. He saw that on Facebook. He texted me a snapshot of that picture. He said, "You should recreate that picture." I'm like, first of all, I'm not strong enough to lift up my senior son now all the way up to a rim and have him dunk the basketball without throwing out my back. I'd be in traction. And he weighs a little bit more than he did, 16 years ago. There, in this picture, he might have weighed all of, 15, 20 pounds. Now, I don't know what he weighs, probably a buck 30, something like that. It's not like he's huge, but at the same time, I don't think I'll be recreating that picture. If I do, I'll have my son standing on a ladder, and I'll be behind acting like I'm holding him up, and then maybe I can Photoshop the ladder out of it. And, there's all kinds of cool things we can do with technology today, so perhaps that's what I will do. We do have our basketball locker room chats coming up tonight at 5:15 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. We'll talk to the girls and boys basketball coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. And then tomorrow we'll talk to the girls and boys coaches at 5:15 of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills. If you miss the wrestling locker room chats, which we had last night, for Beloit, Smith Center, Osborne, or any of the basketball locker room chats, you can go back and listen to those on our podcast page on our katycountry94.com website. A reminder that we will have reports from the 4-3-2-1A state wrestling tournament in Salina. It is not in Hayes this year. 1 through 4A, girls and boys, 3-day state tournament in Salina. So they'll have their hands full covering all that. We'll have reports throughout the day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and all of our area wrestling qualifiers. That information is posted at ncksports.com. Coming up in 30 seconds, college basketball from last night. Number one in the country loses big in the college football playoff for next year. There has been a change. We'll tell you all about it.
I'm I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands, extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. It is time for Focus on K-State Athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The K-State women have a big game tonight. They rank 10th in the country. They'll take on number 22, West Virginia, at Bramlage Coliseum. So if you got some free time, maybe drive on over and watch two of the best teams in the country, two of the best teams in the Big 12. Both teams are 11-3 in conference play. K-State 22-4, West Virginia 22-3. Tip-off 6:30 tonight on ESPN Plus, or you can see it in person at Bramlage. And then the K-State women will be in Lawrence to take on the Jayhawks, as the KU women have been on a roll. They've won five in a row, and they are at number 24 Baylor tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus. So K-State has a couple of big games coming up. West Virginia tonight at home at 6:30, and then they'll be in Lawrence take on KU women on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And K-State hoping to have Ayoka Lee back after an ankle injury, had to sit out some time with surgery there, missed about a month of the season. They are a different team with her, but they're pretty good without her. And K-State 22-4 on the season, ranked 10th in the country. K-State men's basketball team not so lucky. They're 15-11. They've lost three in a row, and they are 2-6 on the road. At home, they're 12-3, and the good news is they'll be at home against BYU on Saturday at 1 o'clock in Manhattan. And BYU beat K-State recently in Provo. K-State 5-8 in conference play, and if they have any chance of making the NCAA tournament, they would need to run the table and finish 10-8 in conference play, would be my guess, and get the 20 wins overall. Maybe there's a chance they could be 9-9 in conference play and make it, and then they'd be 19-12, but their non-con is not good at all. I'm with Dusty. I think they're going to have to win the Big 12 tournament to get in, but we shall see. K-State, when you look at their schedule the rest of the way with their what they've got on the horizon, BYU at home, West Virginia at home, on the road at Cincinnati, which won't be easy, at KU, which most people would say is a loss, and then they host Iowa State. Now, listen, they're capable of winning, you know, three of four of those five games. They're capable of getting to 9-9, but the way they've been playing lately, probably not so much. And they've lost three in a row since they beat Kansas in overtime back on February the 5th. K-State baseball team, yeah, believe it or not, baseball season's underway. K-State baseball team ranked in the top 25, and they're ranked number 24. They lost their season opener to Cal out in Scottsdale, Arizona, 6-3, and then they beat Boston College in Scottsdale, 6-4, beat Georgetown, 7-6, but then lost to Arizona State last night, 9-6. So K-State will have their home openers coming up, weekend series at Toyton Family Stadium. Get out and see K-State baseball. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good this weekend. They play Holy Cross at 3 o'clock on Friday and then Saturday at 4 o'clock. So there you go. Go to the men's game on Saturday and then hang around for go to the men's game from 11 to 1 and then go eat something and then go just ride across and watch the baseball team that's ranked in the top 25 as they'll take on Holy Cross for a three-game set. Game Friday at 3, Saturday afternoon at 4, and then Sunday afternoon at noon. K-State baseball team starting the year 2-2 and get to come home for the first time this year there in Manhattan. K-State in Focus, brought to you as always by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The number one team in the land. Every time people start to anoint a team as unbeatable, they immediately lose. And it is funny that this is what people do, and I am amazed at how silly people are, because people continue to fall for this year in and year out, month in and month out, And it's the flavor of the week. I remember when the Niners were going to go undefeated in NFL season, lost three in a row. And then the Dolphins were the cat's meow, and how'd that work out? And then the Ravens were unbeatable, and how'd that work out? So the other day I had somebody tell me that UConn, nobody's going to beat UConn. Nobody's going to beat UConn. They're just unbelievable. One of the greatest teams of all time. They lost to Creighton by 19 last night on the road. Creighton's ranked 15th. They beat UConn 85-66. Creighton's first ever win over a top-ranked opponent in seven tries. It ended a 14-game winning streak for the Huskies. And UConn has now lost 21 straight road games against ranked teams, which is a pretty crazy stat because they do play a lot of ranked teams. And they just beat Marquette, ranked fourth in the country, by 28 the other day. And that's why people started saying, can anybody beat UConn? Why? Because they had a hot night and they beat Marquette by 28? I mean, Marquette had a bad night. And then, what do you know? UConn turns around, they have a bad night. And now Creighton will probably turn around and have a bad night. That's how basketball is, man. You're hot one night, you can beat anybody. And if you're off one night, you can lose to about anybody. We've seen that. And all you got to do is look at all the ranked teams in the Big 12 that go on the road and lose to unranked teams. I mean, the best example of all is KU losing at West Virginia. That just doesn't make sense, but it happened. We saw tons of upsets in non-con play early in the year. You're like, how did this team beat that team? Because you can have one hot night. That's the scary thing about basketball. One player gets hot, one player gets cold, one player gets in foul trouble, one player turns an ankle, and the next thing you know, your season could be on the brink. So right now, it's not do or die, but it will be when you get into the NCAA tournament, survive in advance. Is UConn the best team in the country? I believe they are. Some people say UConn and Purdue is the top tier. I'm not convinced Purdue is that great. I think it's very wide open. I think UConn is the best team in the country based on what I've seen. I think UConn at full strength is a team that you would pick to win the national championship. And I will preface that by saying most of the time, the best team in the country going into the tournament does not win it. Most of the time, they do not win it. UConn was not the number one team going into the tournament last year.
No.
They weren't a number one seed. They won it. What happened? They had injuries during the regular season. They got healthy at the right time. They got some good matchups in the tournament. They didn't have to play Kansas because Kansas got upset in the second round. Kansas was a one seed, although I do think that UConn would have beat Kansas, but we'll never know. And listen, the NCAA tournament, I remember when Kentucky was undefeated. They were 38-0 or something like that, but they were undefeated going into the tournament. And they made it to the national semis, and they lost to Wisconsin. And people said before the tournament, they said, you taking Kentucky or the field? And I said, you always take the field. I don't care if a team is unbeaten. You always take the field when it comes to men's college basketball. Now, women's college basketball, many times you take UConn. You don't take the field, you take UConn. And that usually worked out for you. But men's basketball, you take the field. I remember Kansas back, 1996, 97, whatever it was. Kansas was 34-1. Their only loss was in double overtime at Mizzou. And Digger Phelps had his bright colored highlighter and said, mark it down on Selection Sunday, Kansas is winning the national championship. It's a lock. And I was like, take the field. And what happened? Kansas lost to a red-hot Arizona team. Jared Haas was hurt. And Arizona then won the whole thing as a four seed. So when you're in a one-and-done situation, you can be a little bit more confident if it's a best three out of five, best four out of seven. You know, mark my words, the Nuggets are going to win the title. That's what Barkley said last year, and he was right. You picked the Nuggets to win last year as well. And you might have a little more bluster here because, you know, one bad night doesn't kill the Nuggets from winning a title.
Yeah.
But one bad night for UConn in the NCAA tournament or Purdue or Kansas, whoever it might be, Houston, Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, you're done. And we see it all the time. I mean, every one of these big-time juggernauts has lost to a team in the NCAA tournament that you never saw coming. 15-seed Lehigh beat a 2-seed in Duke. Okay, you saw Northern Iowa in the second round beat the number one overall seed Kansas. You saw Kansas in the Sweet 16 lose to Arizona that year when they were supposed to automatically win it. Kentucky lost the national semis to Wisconsin. They're undefeated. UNLV was undefeated. That was the team of all that you should have taken instead of the field. They couldn't even do it. They won a title. They beat Duke by 30. The very next year, they go undefeated. And then they didn't even make the national title game. They lost to Duke in the semis. And then Duke beat Kansas in the national championship game, if you remember. and I remember. So it is very common for the best teams not to win when you get to the NCAA tournament. You know, I just gave you a 15 Lehigh over a 2-seed Duke. We've seen North Carolina get upended early in the tournament. Kentucky a few years ago lost to a 15 seed in St. Peter's. Okay, and we saw Virginia's a 1 lose to a 16.
And Purdue.
That's right.
We're riding and rolling with this Purdue thing, yeah. And it's like they just lost.
They just lost to a 16.
To a 16 seed.
Who was that? Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah. So that's two 16s have beaten a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So when people say, I'm taking UConn, okay, cool, give me the field. I will win money, more than likely. I love my chances. You're giving me everybody else, and you take UConn? Boy, you painted yourself into a corner. This UConn team is nowhere close to the UNLV team that was undefeated back in, what was that, 91. I mean, that's a team that should have gone back-to-back. That team was loaded.
Yeah.
I think they overlooked Duke because they had crushed Duke to smithereens the year before. Duke made adjustments, pulled off the stunner of all stunners that time. You know, if you're ever going to pick a team against the field, listen, the Kentucky team that was undefeated that I just referred to, the UNLV team that was undefeated, I referred to. The Kansas team that was 34-1 and the only loss was in double overtime. All three of those teams, way better than this UConn team. And I don't even think it's close.
I've not even watched a lot of UConn this year, but I...
I don't even think it's close.
I don't think so, probably.
I don't even think it's close. And just to add to my argument, Kansas, a lot of people would say Kansas is not nearly as good as they've been past years. They beat this UConn team! They beat
them.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
what was that, Lawrence? Well, if UConn is a world beater, they should win anywhere.
It's like that's one of the games that I'm kind of referencing in my head. I was like, didn't KU beat this team?
They
and
did.
We're talking about KU not
with
really
no
being,
bench.
Yeah, like with KU not really being with anywhere near what really you think of KU basketball right this year
with El Marco Jackson in your starting lineup.
Yeah, and it's like I get it. It's early in the year and they're on the road, but I'm like, how can we anoint this team as unbeatable when they lost to, you know, probably one of Bill Self's, you know, above average KU teams, you know, not a great KU team.
Right.
And that's what's confusing in my mind if somebody's going to try to tell me UConn's unbeatable.
Okay, well, first of all, UConn has got three losses.
Exactly, yeah.
And they lost to KU in Lawrence. They lost to Seton Hall by 15. And they lost last night at Creighton by 19. Kentucky didn't lose until the national semis. UNLV didn't lose to the national semis. Kansas had a loss in double overtime against their biggest rival on the road and lost to NBA players Miles Simon, Mike Bibby, among others. Dickerson, he was an NBA too. And Jason Terry off the bench was an NBA player for many years. Kansas that year lost to a lot of NBA guards. That KU team was better than this UConn team. So when I've heard or I've read, I've been hearing or reading, was UConn, are they just the cat's meow? Are they the clear-cut favorite? I don't know if they're the clear-cut favorite. I think they're the favorite, but I don't think it's overwhelming. I mean, why is UConn so much? I mean, oh my God, they beat Marquette by 28. Yeah, and it was at home. I've seen Kansas teams beat highly ranked teams. Well, I just saw them beat Houston pretty well. And people think Houston's better than Kansas right now. KU just beat Houston a few weeks ago and destroyed them in Lawrence.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Houston's pretty good. I think Kansas still is going to have a chance to make a run in this tournament once they get healthy. I don't think they're going to win the Big 12, but I do think Kansas could get the right draw. I think they can make a deep run. I do. They're starting five. If Furphy plays like he has been, Kansas starting five, you can put it up against about anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. The question is their bench. You get the NCAA tournament. There's longer breaks. You got more time to rest. And all Bill Self's got to do is sprinkle in, you know, Jackson for a couple minutes, Timberlake for a couple minutes, Parker Brown for a couple minutes. The thing that would crush Kansas is an injury or foul trouble. That's the two things that will crush Kansas. But Kansas, they might be able to get away with playing all five starters 38 and a half minutes out of every game in the NCAA tournament. They very well could get away with it. And if you look at other teams, you know, Kansas has a couple guys come off the bench. They don't play a tons of minutes or give you a lot. Look at K-State's box score. They only play seven guys, basically.
Uh-huh.
And they've got guys playing 38 minutes a game. And I was looking at somebody else in the top. I forget who it was. It was a top 10 team. And I was like, they only played seven. So it's not like there's teams that have these deep, deep benches. And they might have the talent to have a deep bench, but guess what coaches do? They go with the guys they trust. And they're going to go with more than – most coaches will tell you, I want no more than an eight-player rotation. Mm-hmm. Seven is actually ideal, a post sub and a guard sub. And then I'm set. And ideally, your guard sub is a combo guard. Then you kind of cover all the bases, and then you've got a guy that can play the four or the five. That's ideal. You got an eighth guy, fine. That's nice to have. But depth is overrated, can be overrated, but not having depth gives you no leeway for error, no margin for error. Yeah. And we've seen that with KU and McCullough. We've seen that with K-State women, with Ayoka Lee. They're a deep team, and they've been over to hang in there. But they lost a couple of games that with Lee they might have won.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's hard to replace an All-American center at 6'6" in women's basketball. Don't get me wrong. So depth has helped K-State women. But when they get an NCAA tournament, the K-State women, Taryn Sides might play 2 minutes instead of 12. And somebody else on the bench is going to play maybe not at all that has been playing 5 to 10 minutes, because you're just going to go down with your – you've got to – if you're going to fire your best gun when you're in a battle, okay? If you're in a standoff, the shootout at the OK Corral, are you going in with a little pistol shooter, or are you going with the one with the bullets that's full instead of one that has one bullet in it? You're going to go with the fastest person that can draw, or are you going to go ahead with the slowest person to draw? You're going with your best weapons, your best players, the players you trust. That's what you're going to do when you get to sub-state in high school basketball. That's what's going to happen at state. It's going to happen in college basketball, in the NCAA tournament, in the conference tournaments. You're already starting to see it here towards the end of the year, because you're wanting to win a conference title during the regular season. Of course, the NBA is completely different in the playoffs compared to the regular season. So this is the nature of the beast. So when you sit here and we say, well, UConn, well, they're above everybody else. They had two losses prior to last night, and they lost by 19 on the road. Well, Creighton had a hot night. Well, wait a minute. You put so much stock in UConn's hot night that you anointed them as unbeatable, and now you're going to not give credit to Creighton? Wait a minute. You gave all the credit UConn for shooting lights out. So which is it? Is it UConn isn't as good as you thought? Or is UConn great, and it's just that they had a great night and you overreacted to that? Well, if you don't want me to overreact to a 19-point loss, don't overreact to a 28-point win. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about here. And for me, I was like, yeah, UConn beat Marquette. Did that catch my eye that they won by 28? Yeah, it did. Marquette's really good. They beat KU earlier this year. I also know that was at home. And it was 1-4. And I've seen this many times over the years where teams that are highly ranked, no matter whether they're slightly higher or slightly lower, have a huge showdown at home, it's turned up, as Bill Self likes to say.
Yeah.
Well, all you got to do is look at K-State, KU. K-State wasn't even ranked. KU is ranked, what, fourth at the time? Were they turned up? And they won. So if an unranked team at home can beat a top five team, why should we be shocked that a number one team beat a number four team on their home floor by a lot? I mean, that shouldn't stun us. This has happened many times in the past. But it's just like everybody's so desperate to pick a dominant team. And we have to anoint somebody as a dominant team. There is no dominant team in men's college basketball. There hasn't been all year.
It's been a while.
UConn's won 14 in a row.
When's the last time there was one, right? Like, just.
For me, it's Kentucky.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, Wichita State was undefeated and was a one, and then drew an eight in Kentucky.
Knew what they were, right?
Right. I mean, they were really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in another conference, they wouldn't have been undefeated. The last dominant team I could think of is Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, everybody tries to do it every year, and it's like the parity that's in college basketball. Like, you're not seeing a team that's just that team going into the tournament, and then they go win it, right? Like, that just doesn't happen. It's not happened, and Kentucky didn't even do that part of it, of going it and go win it. And so I think we're not living in the 90s and 80s anymore. We're living in a world where parity is here, and college sports. And it's, if you're seeing that starting to happen in women's basketball too, then men's basketball, everybody's catching up to everybody, and you've got to bring it every night. Like, you, there's not one team that's just going to be like, oh, hey, this is ours to lose this year.
Right.
It's, there's not, and there hasn't been for a long time. And so I just, I don't know why. And I get, you need to have talking points, right?
Sure.
But it's like, you don't have to sit here and try to, like, just lie to people and say that this team's better than everybody else because we have to anoint somebody.
Well, here's the problem that I have when people anoint somebody as unbeatable or they're the team to beat. Okay, UConn plays in the Big East, and the Big East has been good at times. It's not as good this year.
Nothing compared to what it has been.
I mean, put UConn in the Big 12. They're not 24-2. How do I know this? They lost to Kansas.
Yeah.
So UConn, people are sitting like, well, oh my God, they beat Marquette by 28. UConn's won 14 in a row. Yeah, but look who they've beaten. Okay, they're in conference play. They're dominating conference. Houston is number two in the country, and all three of their losses are in conference. Okay, Purdue is number three. Arizona is four. Tennessee, 5. Iowa State, 6. Marquette now is 7th. Duke is 8th. Kansas, 9th. North Carolina is 10th. Baylor's 11. I'm going to tell you right now, when I look at the rankings, I think any one of those top 11 teams can win it all. I may hold my reservations on Iowa State a little bit, but UConn obviously can win it all. I don't disagree with that. I think Houston can win it all. I think Purdue could win it all. I think Arizona can win it all. I think I've seen Tennessee look awesome, and I've seen them look horrible. I think they're capable of winning it all. Iowa State, I don't know if I buy them winning it all. Marquette, you know, I think they're a I will say this. If you look at the top, let's just go top 12 teams, because I don't think you're going to sit here and say Alabama, Auburn, Creighton, Dayton. You know, Kentucky is a team that can make a run at 17. But anybody outside of the top 12, I don't think you're sitting here going, that's a national championship team. See if you disagree. BYU at 25.
No.
Florida at 24.
Doubtful.
Texas Tech at 23.
No.
Colorado State at 22.
No.
Washington State at 21.
No.
South Carolina at 20.
No.
San Diego State at 19.
No.
St. Mary's at 18.
I'd say no.
Kentucky at 17.
Nah, probably not.
Not a national championship contender? You don't think?
I
think they're capable of it.
They could be capable of it, I guess.
Dayton?
Yeah, I just, no.
Creighton?
Probably not.
Auburn?
Probably not.
Alabama?
No.
Illinois?
No.
Baylor?
If they got hot at the right time, I think they could be.
Okay. North Carolina?
Yeah, I think so.
Kansas?
Yeah.
Duke?
Yeah.
Marquette?
Yeah.
Iowa State?
I'm with you. I'm not overly sold on Iowa State right now.
Tennessee?
Yeah, I think so.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Purdue?
We
hesitate because they always flame out in the tournament.
I'll say yeah, but I'm not coming close to picking them.
I hear you. Houston?
Yeah, absolutely Houston.
And UConn?
Yes.
Okay, so let me go back over this one more time. So basically, you and I think there's about 12 teams that are capable of winning it all. There's 12. But I would argue of the 12, there's some that are Final Four, but not maybe national championship, okay? So let me go back over the list one more time with that in hand. UConn, Final Four and national championship? Uh-huh. Houston?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Purdue?
No.
Well, I would say yes based on what they've done this year. Arizona? I say yes.
Yeah.
Tennessee? I say yes.
Yeah.
Iowa State?
No.
No. Marquette?
I don't think so.
I think they're Final Four, but not national championship. Duke? I think so.
Yeah. You always got to count. You always got to be aware.
Kansas? I think they can. Carolina? I think they can.
Uh-huh.
Baylor? I think they can, too. Nate, maybe you could say Final Four.
I'm not as sold on Baylor on
that. And Kentucky? I think they're definitely Final Four. Championship? You split hairs on that one. So what I'm basically trying to tell you is, between Dusty and I going through that list of the top 25, we've come up with basically 12 schools that we think are Final Four caliber. Only 12.
Yeah.
And out of those 12, there's 9 or 10 that we think are actually national championship worthy teams that can run the table here, because you're going to have to win six in a row to win the national championship. And the only teams we think that can win six in a row to win a championship are UConn, Houston, Purdue, but we hesitate because they've never done it before, Arizona, Tennessee, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. Actually, we have eight, because you and I couldn't agree on Baylor, and you and I don't agree on Kentucky. I've got 10. You've got 8. So
take all that with a grain of salt for me, because a lot of that's not eye test. It's right. Just looking at what the rankings look like in scores.
Maybe Alabama and Auburn will make a run to the Final Four, but we were talking about national championship.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about Connecticut versus the field, what we're really saying is Connecticut versus those 7 or 8 teams. And guess what? I'll still take the field.
Yeah.
I will still take give me Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, Baylor, and Kentucky. Give me all of them, and you take UConn. Now, you may end up winning, but I like my odds a lot better. The odds are in my favor. And the other thing is, UConn's trying to go back-to-back. Now, the Chiefs proved that they can go back-to-back, but it's hard to go back-to-back in college basketball. Last team to go back-to-back was Florida, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah. That's been a while. So let's just be careful to anoint. Everybody wants to anoint things like Mahomes is the greatest that's ever lived. Andy Reid's the greatest ever lived. UConn's the greatest men's team I've ever seen. Really? Because how many years have you watched basketball? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen amazing North Carolina teams. I don't know. There was a Carolina team with James Worthy and Michael Jordan. That was pretty damn good. UNLV was insanely good. Indiana was 32-0. Isaiah Thomas, if I remember correctly, and Bobby Knight is their coach. They were pretty amazing. I've seen some pretty amazing Kansas teams over the years. And there's a Kansas team, that 97 team, had 5 NBA players. So I could even argue the Arizona team that year. They got hot at the end. They're better than this UConn team, and they were a 4 seed that year. I mean, they had 5, 6 NBA guys.
It pains KU people when I say this, but I fell in love with that Arizona team in 97.
They were fun to watch.
And Miles Simon was just a stud. And Bibby was young. And
carry off the bench. And Dickerson.
Yeah, I mean, they had the guys. I'm not gonna sit here and say that team was as good as some of the UNLV team or some of those other teams of the 90s that were just dominant, right? But it was a fun team to watch, and I really, really liked them. And there's so many teams that you can look at and be like, this team's way better than this year's UConn team. But
this version of UConn's team isn't even the best they've ever had.
Is this version of UConn better than Khalid El-Amin or Richard Hamilton and all those guys Ray Allen days before that, when they weren't even winning national championships yet, right? And you know, it's another point where we're getting caught in comparing eras and things like that.
We forget what happened.
And it's like, yeah, I don't think so, man.
No, I agree with you. So if you want to take Connecticut to win the national championship and give me the field, I will take that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that we're not accounting for, too, when we're having this discussion is the Florida Atlantics and San Diego States in the world. I know we mentioned San Diego State in that, but they did make it to the national championship last year. And at this time of the year last year, if we did the same exercise, none of us would have picked Diego State to be in the national championship. Absolutely. None of us would have even breathed on Florida Atlantic going to the Final Four, right? Like, that's just, those are things that don't happen. And so there's always, I think, every year going to be that one team that we're not even really looking at, that's not really on our radar, that may end up. Texas Tech, when they played for the national championship against Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were not on our radar for a national championship berth. Like, maybe a Sweet 16 run or something
seed,
like that, right?
So,
like, maybe make it to the Final Four if they have a good run. But, there's so many years where it's like,
team surprise.
You end up getting a team in there that's like, what? Butler, two years in a row, right?
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is, well, how about VCU was 11 in the play-in game, but they didn't win the title. But we didn't even talk about teams that are outside of top 25. Virginia is a team that, if they get the right matchups, can make a run. They're tough to watch because it's low scoring.
Man, they got bombed the other night.
Wisconsin was they were as high as 6. They've lost 4 in a row. They're struggling, but they're a team that, they get it together, can make a run. Gonzaga, you can't overlook them.
No.
They can make a run to the Final Four. Are you going to ever doubt a Tom Izzo Michigan State team? They tend to play better at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TCU, I think, is a tough out as well. And then Florida Atlantic's not ranked, and they were in the top 10, I think, at one point this year.
Yeah, I think they might have been in the top 5 at one point.
And they beat Arizona. And Arizona's ranked five right now, or four. So, you know, Florida Atlantic.
And they're in a tougher conference this year, right, too. Right. So they're going to be a little bit more battle tested than they were last year, being in the AAC. I mean, I'm not saying the American Athletic Conference is overly great, but.
So you make a good point. They're very well, or probably will be, a team, not even top 25, that makes a run to the Elite Eight or maybe the Final Four. So UConn, not unbeatable. Even though they had already been beaten twice, they're not unbeatable. They lost by 19 last night on the road to Creighton. Big 12 games last night. Number 25 BYU won over number 11 Baylor, 78-71. Number 23 Texas Tech won, 82-81 over TCU in Lubbock. West Virginia back on the winning track with a 77-67 win over Central Florida in Morgantown. One game tonight on the schedule. It's Cincinnati hosting Oklahoma State at 6 o'clock. Wichita State, 10-16, 3-11 in the AAC. They host Tulsa at 8 o'clock tonight on ESPNU. Before we get into the college football playoff discussion here, what do you think of my jersey? You like it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was looking at jerseys, and a lot of Chiefs fans have the red Mahomes jersey, and they spent $150-$200 on it or more. Okay? I got a gold Mahomes jersey at Hibbett Sports in Salina a couple years ago. It was $40, and I couldn't run out of the store quick enough. I was like, dear God, that's got to be a mistake. And I bought it for $40. And it's unique because it's gold, okay? Mm-hmm. So they have Super Bowl jerseys that you can buy after the Super Bowl. They're not the ones they wore in the Super Bowl, but there's different color schemes. There's the red. There's the white. I don't think they had the gold. But they have this gray. And I like to be different. People like, you are different. I like
that. That's a shocking revelation.
I know. I listen, my whole neighborhood there for a while was driving black vehicles. There's no way in hell I'm getting a black vehicle, no matter what the deal is, because I want to have a different color. I don't need the same exact color. I like to have a different color. Drives me nuts whenever I trade in or buy a vehicle, and as soon as I get it, and 2 months later, after I've never seen that color vehicle on the highway, there's five of them. That ticks me off. It's like naming your kid a certain name. Nobody's named that. And then 6 months after kid's born and the birth certificate's all printed out, oh, there's 16 other Liams and Noahs out there, you know? So anyway, I was looking at the merchandise after the Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm just going to rub this into you non-Chiefs fans that are listening. You know, it has become a science for me, an art form. See, when you win three Super Bowls in 5 years, it's really, you evolve as a shopper.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. And so when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, I spent a good chunk of change, and I got the Super Bowl cap immediately. I got the Super Bowl t-shirt immediately. I got a sweatshirt immediately. I got some stuff for the kiddos that were Chiefs fans. Thank God my youngest isn't. Save me money there. And I spent some change. My wife got a shirt. I was like, Oprah, you get a shirt, you get a hat, we got to get something. That was a nice little credit card bill I had. Because you're like, you know, first time the Chiefs won a Super Bowl during my lifetime, I didn't think it would ever happen, it may never happen again. I did the exact same thing with the Royals, right? After they made the World Series, I'm like, well, they're not going to make the World Series again. I know they lost, but I'm going to get the World Series hat, I'm going to get they made it. And then I'm like, oh, crap. They won it the next year. Now I got to buy more merchandise because, hey, this is probably the last time they're going to win the World Series. And guess what? They haven't won, haven't come close since then. And that's almost 10 years later. But the Chiefs, I learned something. Because the first year they won the Super Bowl with Mahomes a few years back, about 3 months later in the store, I saw these hats that I paid $40 for, or $35, marked down for $25 or $20. And then you waited a little bit longer, and these sweatshirts that were $80 were now $40. Or the jersey was $180, it was now $120. So I'm like, I see how this has worked. So when the Chiefs won their second Super Bowl, I waited, and I bought some stuff, not as much. And I'm like, I'm waiting for the back-to-back. That's when I'm going to load up and get some back-to-back merchandise. Now, the crazy thing is I've been looking online, and there's not much that has back-to-back or repeat, which upsets me.
I hate the fact that they just mass-produce regular stuff on the shirts because the official shirt that they wear in the locker room should say back-to-back.
It should. It absolutely should.
Or two in a row. Something.
So I've been saving my money for something special that has back to back on it. I want a cap, or I want a shirt, or a sweatshirt. I want something that says back to back on it. So I've been waiting a little bit. So anyway, we were in Topeka because our son had a pediatric dentist appointment in Topeka, and so we went into the Rally House and Academy, and I didn't buy a single thing. But there's lots of Chiefs merchandise.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And Rally House was packed with Chiefs fans on a Wednesday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we could hardly find a spot. So we go in, and people are, like, buying stuff, and I'm sitting there going, fools, in my head, suckers. I'm like, all you got to do is wait a few months, and this stuff will all be half price, and I can get two for one. I can get a hat and a shirt for the same price you paid for a hat. And I don't really like the Super Bowl hats that much that the team was wearing this year. And after you win so many Super Bowls, you run out of ideas. I know. That's rubbing in a little bit more. And so when I was telling my good friend Jake last night on the way to the game, who runs the camera for the video stream, he's a senior in high school, I said, you know, it's really been fun to become an avid shopper, but a smarter shopper. Because what happens, Jake, and you wouldn't know this, you're a Dolphin fan, but when you win the first one, you go all out. And then when you win your second one, you scale back and wait for discounts. And then when you go back-to-back, the third one, you don't even buy anything. In fact, you just go ahead and buy the Super Bowl merchandise from last year. That's half off. Which leads me to the story of the jersey I'm wearing right here. What Super Bowl patch do I have on this gray Mahomes jersey?
Super Bowl 57.
What was this year's Super Bowl?
58.
Thank you. So here's what I did. I went online, and I'm looking at all this stuff. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if there's any kind of reduced merchandise from last year that maybe I didn't get. And I see, I'm going through, and there's all these jerseys. And jerseys are expensive, okay? Baseball jerseys, NFL jerseys, NBA jerseys, they're expensive. And I'm not paying $150, $200 for a jersey. I will not do that. I've actually never done that. And no. So I'm going through here, and I see the red Mahomes Super Bowl 58 patch jersey or whatever it was, and then there's this gray one. I'm like, there you go. I like different color schemes. I don't need to have the same black or white vehicle that everybody else in the neighborhood has. I will be different. I won't... Anyway, everybody drives a Ford, I'll drive something different, okay? Whatever the case may be. I just like to be different. So I find this jersey for Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs just won back-to-back Super Bowls. And I really like it. It's $160. I'm like, the hell with that? But what's funny is I keep going. So you go page two, page three, page four. And lo and behold, I see the exact same jersey for $59. You know the difference between this year's Mahomes gray jersey and last year's?
Just the patch.
One eye and the Roman numeral. What you're paying for the most recent Super Bowl win with this color jersey, you're paying an extra $100 for the extra eye.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, it's Roman numerals, LVIII for 58. It's LVII for 57. So the exact same jerseys, they slap a patch on it for last year, 57. This year, they just regurgitated, had leftover jerseys, probably took over 57 and threw on 58. And I saved myself $100 or spent 60, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
I always laugh, my wife. I got these shoes on sale. Are they ever not on sale? You think you saved a whole bunch of money? You know how you really could save money? Don't buy any shoes! But guess what? I bought this jersey. And if people don't look at it closely, they will think it's this year's Super Bowl 58 jersey. In fact, I bet you if I went around, walking around, and said, what do you think of my new jersey? Like, oh, man, that's a sweet jersey. And they'll just assume it's Super Bowl 58. It is not. That's how clever I am. By the way, if you haven't got a Chiefs Super Bowl hat or a Chiefs Super Bowl sweatshirt or a Chiefs Super Bowl T-shirt, mark my words. Wait at least a month or two, then go online. Or go to Rally House, or go to Academy, or Dick's Sporting Goods, or local establishments, wherever it is. And trust me, it'll be marked down. It will be marked down. So if you're patient, you can save yourself considerable money, and you can actually get two or three items for the price of one. But what they always count on are the hundreds of people storming Rally House on a Wednesday afternoon. And we were in there, too, but we didn't storm it. We just looked at the pricing. And we're like, Sucker. And I'm like, if you're a real Chiefs fan, you should have had this figured out by now. Like, ho-hum, third Super Bowl in 5 years. Big deal. I'll get it later. Which is what I do. So this jersey, I jumped all over it. $59 instead of $160. I've got it. I'm going to wear it around with pride. It's not the red that everybody has. It's not the white that everybody has. Now I have a gold Mahomes jersey, a gray Mahomes jersey, and this one has a Super Bowl patch. And odds are most of you aren't going to stare at it and figure out it's a year old. So do I think I'm smart? Hell yeah, I'm smart. I saved a lot of money by spending $60.
I'm very smart because I get my jerseys from overseas.
Mm-hmm. You have to wait a while to get those.
I'll tell you what I do from Super Bowl championship.
You get them overseas. I would not admit that publicly, but okay. Most stuff is from overseas.
There's
anyway.
A lot of people that do that, right?
Sure. Yeah, there's like a $300 for $100 NBA jersey.
And
thing.
I'm with you. Like, I am not spending that much money on a jersey America.
No, God, no. Like, even though it's
I'll buy a lot of stuff American. You know, right. Like
it's not even made in America.
It's not.
It's sold in America.
Tag on
made
on
in
a Nike
Thailand
jersey, probably Thailand or Vietnam.
I should look at this.
I'll bet it's Vietnam on that jersey.
Yeah, probably. I don't want to take a shirt off and find dusty.
No. I always get the hat right away. That's just what I do. I know I could save money.
I can wait on that.
But I want the hat, and I want to wear it right away.
See,
right?
I don't.
So I'd get the hat right away. I don't.
I did for the first one.
With you, I did the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the first one, I got the hat. I found the shirt was on like 10% off the next week, and I bought it even higher than I could have saved more money if I'd have waited. But yeah. I got the shirt. You know, I bought a bunch of different things. I get a hat, and then I get like one of those triangular pennants to put on the wall because those things actually do sell out fairly quick.
I'm trying to find, I collect those pennants where they have both teams and their helmets, and I can't find one for this year.
Wow.
I can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, and so I
don't know if they're not making them or if they already been bought and they become a collector's item, but I also like to get the team poster, and then I get the cheap frame. I don't buy the full frame, and I get the poster with the players. You know, they have like three or four key players, and Mahomes is always one of them. Kelsey's one of them, of course. I think I'll get that eventually, but there's a few things I always want to get. You get the hat. I want to get the hat too.
Yeah, I get a hat and then the pennant to put on the wall because, like I said, usually I'm in store and I get the pennant because I know it's not going to be there for four or five months like a lot of the other stuff is.
Yeah.
Shirts, I wait. I don't even need the shirt, but if I see it for a price I like, I get it. I get actually whatever color jersey that the Chiefs are wearing in the Super Bowl, like the day after the day they make it to the Super Bowl, and I understand what color they're wearing. Mm-hmm. I go to my place where I get jerseys, and I get a Patrick Mahomes one with the Super Bowl patch. So I have 5 Patrick Mahomes jerseys already. I have 3 with Super Bowl patches in my closet. And a white and a red one, just a regular one. And I'm waiting on the other one. I ordered it the day after they won the AFC Championship. It's still not here yet.
Yeah, right.
So that's the downfall of where I get my jerseys from. But
so we can thank the Chiefs for costing us middle-class people more money.
But I'm going to tell you, I can add up all the money I've spent on the 5 Mahomes jerseys that are in my closet right now. They've not added up to the price of buying one.
Yeah.
Normal price.
Yeah.
Off of Rally House or Fanatics or wherever you go to get it.
Yep. And I will say, like, the general stuff, the hat, the general shirt they wear, the hat, the general sweatshirts, you know, things like that, you can wait 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months or a year later. You can still get that stuff. It could be even years later.
Yeah.
Now, if you find something that you know is not – there's not as abundance of
novelty
it.
Novelty stuff.
You're right. Like if it's a certain collector's pin or if it is a certain pennant, as you mentioned, or if it's a unique sweatshirt that you haven't seen anywhere else, if you might have to buy that at full price to make sure you got it. Because last year, there was a sweatshirt I really liked. I waited for the price to come down. It did come down. They had a whole bunch of them in these stores, but they didn't have my size.
Yeah.
And I ended up not getting it. So I ordered a different one that nobody has that I didn't like as much, but I still like it. And I ordered that.
Yeah. Official locker room stuff is going to be available for years.
Yes. You can still get World Series stuff from the Royals 9 years later.
I for some reason hadn't bought one of the Spurs championship hats, and it was like 7 years later.
Yeah.
I think it was 2014.
It was like $7
for the 07 hat. And I got it for like $9 on eBay. I definitely didn't spend 40 on it.
And you could still wear it around years later.
Yeah.
It's okay. Sure. For crying out loud, there's people I know that are farmers that have free hats they wear 10 years later.
The 20 years later.
Yeah. Or 30. The College Football Playoff Board of Managers unanimously approved a playoff model that guarantees the five highest-ranked conference champions will be in an expanded 12-team college football playoff field. The automatic berths will go to the conference champions of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC, and the highest-ranked conference champion from the so-called Group of Five, which includes the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, Mountain West, Sun Belt, and Mid-American. With just two teams left, the Pac-12 is not in consideration, but they have agreed to a scheduling partnership with the Mountain West and could be included in the seven at-large bids to be filled. College football's power brokers, also known as the SEC and the Big Ten, pushed hard and to get away from a 6-6 model and go to a 5+7 model. And what that means is 5 is your automatic qualifiers, and then 7 is your at-large bids. If the Pac-12 had still existed, say a year ago they talked about this stuff, it was going to be 6 conference champions, 6 at large, or 5 conference champions plus the Group of Five, so 6 champions and 6 at large. So this was changed yesterday. So it's going to be 5 automatic qualifiers, and you're going to have 7 at larges. There will be some years where a conference gets 3 or 4 teams in the final field of 12, which obviously increases the profile of probably the Big Ten, the SEC, but it also helps the ACC and the Big 12 because now they have a better chance of getting more than one team into the college football playoff. This new format still preserves the Group of Five spot at the table. And no matter what happens, one good thing about this, no matter what happens, an undefeated Power Conference champion will not miss out on the playoff ever again. Sorry, Florida State, you peaked a year too early. Here's another part that's probably good about this new model. Conference championship games that haven't mattered in recent years, their importance now just skyrocketed. Any winner from the de facto Power Four is a near lock for the playoffs. The top 4 seeds, which will likely be occupied by conference champions, get a bye in the first round, giving them extra time to prepare. That would add even more incentive for an undefeated or top-ranked team to win the conference title, since that extra week of rest and preparation could make a huge difference when the quarterfinal games roll around. The new college football playoff will put the 4 highest-ranked conference champions, the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, as seeds 1 through 4, which means that if Notre Dame is undefeated and the number one team in the country, the best they will get in this playoff format is the 5 seed, which would mean no first round bye. They'd have to win 4 games in a row to win a national title. That's right. Notre Dame, who continues to refuse to join a conference in football, they're an independent. They could be 12-0, number one team in the country, and they would not get a first round bye. They would be the 5th seed at best. And you may say, well, that's unfair. Well, guess what? Notre Dame doesn't play a conference title game. It's not fair Notre Dame gets in the college playoff in the past and they don't have to play the extra game. So Notre Dame loves all the benefits of being independent. Now there's something goes against them, and now all of a sudden Notre Dame fans are like, oh my God, we got to join a conference. And what the College Football Playoff Board of Managers decided was, listen, if you're not part of a conference, you do not get one of the top 4 seeds because you have to be a conference champion. And if you're not in a conference, you cannot be deemed a conference champion. Thus, you're independent, which you are, Notre Dame football. So the best you can be is the 5 seed. Now, there's still a bit of an advantage for Notre Dame because they won't have to play the conference title game, you know, that first weekend in December because they're not in a conference. So they would have, in essence, a bye heading into their first round of the playoffs. But the problem would be, they would still have to win 4 games instead of 3, because if you get a first-round bye, one of the top 4 seeds, you would only have to win 3 games instead of 4 under the new playoff format. So there's a pro and a con for Notre Dame. I think it's hilarious that Notre Dame is not going to be allowed to be one of the top 4 teams because they've continued to hold out and be independent, and that's fine. That's their choice. And there is a bit of an advantage not having to play a conference title game. They've enjoyed advantages of being independent in the past. Well, you know what? With everything that comes with advantages, there's usually some disadvantages called pros and cons. This is a major con now for Notre Dame, and it has some Notre Dame fans scuffling and hurrying about saying, oh, dear Lord, we need to be a part of a conference now. And I'm sure the ACC's going, hey, or the Big Ten saying, hey. And this is really, to me, a message from the big conferences that Notre Dame, it's time to get off the pot, man. It is time for you to jump in and be a major conference member, or you can stay where you are and that is perfectly fine. We'll still let you be a part of the playoff because we value your brand, but you will not get a first-round bye because you're not a conference champion. That's what we do. The top four seeds are conference champions. You're not part of a conference. Thus, you do not get a first-round bye. I personally love it. I like the playoff should have been done 10 years ago. There's no reason we couldn't have done this 10 years ago. Instead of a 6+6, now we have a 5+7 with the Pac-12 basically dissolving and eroding. And I'm perfectly fine with it. Dusty's rolled back in here. The new college football playoff, I like what they're doing. It means that the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, SEC, they can get multiple teams in a playoff, which is fine. And yes, there's going to be years the SEC is going to get four and the Big 10 is going to get three or four. But odds are the Big 12 or the ACC is going to get at least two, not all the time. Maybe there'll be a year the Big 12 gets three. Who knows? But the thing that I really like is, first of all, no undefeated Power Conference champion will be left out anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a year too late for Florida State fans, obviously. Also, there is more incentive to play hard and win your conference title game. We had some that really didn't mean a lot this year because teams were kind of much set that they were going to go to the playoff or they weren't going to be in. Now, there's extra incentive to win the conference championship because then you could get a bye and be ranked top four in the seed lines. And the part that I might like love even the best is Notre Dame is not a member of a conference in football. They're independent. So thus, even if Notre Dame is number one in the country and they're 12-0, they will be a five seed. They cannot be 1, 2, 3, or 4 and get a first round bye under this new playoff system. You know why? Because they're not a member of a conference. They're rewarding your conference champions. So Notre Dame now has to decide, do we finally get off the pot and join a conference and deal with this disadvantage that we may have? Or do they sit tight and just see how this plays out for a while, because now you have to win an extra game to win a national title. Now, I don't think Notre Dame's been that close to winning a national title for a while now myself, even though they made the playoff once or twice. But they also have an advantage still, and that is they don't have to play a conference title game, so they would have extra time to prepare for their 5-12 matchup. So it is interesting, all of a sudden there's Notre Dame people freaking out, going, oh my God, we got to join a conference. Before yesterday, they're like, we're so good, we don't need a conference, we're independent. And all of a sudden, they just change their tune in a matter of moments. Oh my gosh, we got to join a conference because we're not, this is unfair. I love how Notre Dame fans complain. This is unfair that we could be undefeated and we will not have a first round bye. You know what's also not fair? You not having to play an extra game and other teams do, and then you hope that a team that was undefeated in a conference title game who plays an extra game loses so you can get into the college football playoff when you didn't have to play the extra game. That you can pick your schedule and you don't have to be obligated to play every team in a conference in a round robin like the Big 12 used to do, or in divisions. So you know what? What goes around comes around, and I think it's hilarious. And I hope they don't make some kind of tweak to this whole thing to feel sorry for Notre Dame. I think it's hilarious. You made your choice. You know, Missouri leaving the Big 12 and complaining about KU not playing him. Listen, you made your choice. You have to live with the consequences of your choices. You chose to leave. You gave up playing KU for quite some time. If you valued it so much, you would have stayed in the league. You didn't. That's a consequence. Are you overly more happy that you went to the SEC and left the Big 12 and you make more money? Probably. But you're not going to get everything that you want. There are consequences, even if there's more pros than cons. For Notre Dame, there's been way more pros than cons by staying independent. Well, guess what? Here's a huge con. And how are they going to deal with it? And it's also a message from the four conferences as part of this playoff board of managers, basically sending a message to Notre Dame. Be a member of the big boy club. Be a member of the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, or SEC, and you'll have a seat at the table for the top four seeds in a first-round bye. We will still give you a seat at the table, but it's at the kids' table. And then you can work your way up to the big boys' table. But right now, you have no seat at the big table where we feast on Thanksgiving turkey. And I think it's hilarious.
I think it's the good old boys' club has changed, and your membership dues are up.
That's right.
For one of these conferences.
You don't have the platinum membership
anymore.
You want
to be a part of it. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to pay your membership dues now instead of just being part of this.
Yes.
Without any consequence. And so I love that. I've been saying it since the BCS was created. Why does Notre Dame get a pass? Why are all of these things or Notre Dame? You know, you had the BCS was always like, or Notre Dame, you know, for those games, the Fiesta Bowl, Orange Bowl, whatever it might be. It's the ACC champ or Notre Dame. It's the Big Ten champ or Notre Dame. Why is it not or Navy? Because they're an independent, too.
Right.
Like, it's like, why does Notre Dame just automatically get the pass? And so this is, I love this. And, you know, Notre Dame obviously would have a decision to make here if they want to keep the, because I don't know if, you know, TV rights, I don't know how that's all going to work if they want to join a conference, because they're getting paid as a separate entity by NBC to be their you know, home game provider.
Right.
And so that'll be an interesting decision that Notre Dame has on their hands. I love the model. You know, obviously, since the Pac-12 is basically dissolved, there's two teams there. They don't deserve a seat at this table. So, but, you know, if they have a team that's really, really good, maybe they can get the sixth seed or whatever
they,
that
they
might can, be.
They say that they would, in essence, they could be an at-large bid.
Yeah, so exactly. They so, you know, if Oregon State goes undefeated next year, but they don't have a conference championship tallied in, unfortunately for them, they can't get a bye, but they can get an at-large berth. And I think that was kind of what was hanging up some of the people that were voting on that, especially if you're from the Pac-12, but and from Oregon State and Washington State, which Kirk Schultz is the representative, used to be the president at K-State, but I like pretty much everything about this. Like, there's not a lot that I don't like. You know, I think you're in a situation where you've done the right thing with the conference championship thing, and also Notre Dame's not getting a free pass anymore.
Yeah, I like it. I still can't understand why they couldn't have done it years ago, but and they're going to make way more money off of it.
Absolutely.
They left so much money on the table by not doing this earlier. And I'm looking forward to it. And then you won't have a Florida State, you know, left out, or, you know, a K-State left out back in the day. You won't have this anymore. So this is legitimately finally a playoff.
And
this has never been a playoff, by the way.
Yeah.
Please stop with the previous playoff. It never was. It was an invitational tournament. Now this is a true playoff because every conference champion is included. A group of five has a spot at the table.
Yeah.
And you have seven at-larges. So all the conferences, the big conferences, plus a group of five, which includes all the other smaller conferences, everybody at least has a chance to play in this tournament now, in this playoff.
Yeah. So I guess we had to get to the point where what we were talking about came to fruition, where there's basically four super conferences here.
Yep.
And and we had to get to that point.
You're
and
right.
Once we made it to that point, it's like, well, all four of those are going to have a seat at the table. They'll get byes.
Yep.
And now we just move on and fill the rest of the other eight spots, right?
Absolutely. Nope. I agree with you. And I'll end with this one here because I shared it earlier, but I'll get your quick thoughts on this. So there's a thing called Senior Sunday, I guess. I don't know. My wife has posted it, pictures of my son, who's a senior this year. And anyway, he's 17, going to be 18 later on this summer. And my wife posted a picture, I didn't even remember it, and it was a long time ago, where I'm holding my senior son, but he's not a senior. He was a little tiny kid. I mean, he was not even a toddler, probably. He was probably crawling, but not really walking. I don't know. And I'm holding him, and he's slamming a ball through the goal.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm holding him. And my good friend Cody, who listens to the show on a regular basis, he sent me a snapshot of that picture on text, and he says, "You need to recreate this photo." I said, first of all, that required a lot of work for me to lift him back then when he was 20 pounds. Now he's about a buck 30, buck 35, buck 40, and he's 5'9", maybe, 5'9", 5'8", 5'9", and I would have to hold him up to slam a basketball to recreate the photo. And people have probably seen those recreation of Christmas photos 30 years later, and it is pretty funny to see him side by side. And I got to thinking, maybe we can pull this off with the help of technology. We put a ladder, okay, to the goal. We have the goal lowered, which is already lowered at my house anyway, because my 10-year-old's doing dunk ball now, which is fine. And now I can dunk finally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like 5 feet high. I can actually dunk. Pretty sweet stuff. I can do all kinds of fun stuff between the legs and everything. Actually, I can't do that because I'd hurt myself in the nether regions, and I don't want to do that either. I'm too old for all of this stuff. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that we have a ladder, and I put my senior son, you know, a little bit up on the ladder, or he might not even have to be on the ladder. But actually, it'd be good if we did that 10-foot goal, make it that way. Put him on the ladder because he can't dunk it. He's not tall enough or jumps high enough. So put him on the ladder, and then I'll just have my hands right behind his waist, like I'm lifting him up, And then if I don't know if Adobe Photoshop, I guarantee there's some technology that can erase the ladder completely.
Uh-huh.
And it'll look like I've actually done it. And then I'll lie to the American people and say that I actually lifted my 140-pound senior son to recreate a photo. I do know I have less hair than I did back then, and so forth and so on. And he does weigh a little bit more, and he's a little bit taller, and so forth and so on. But I thought that was pretty funny. You should recreate this photo. I'll be in traction. I'll be in the hospital with a back injury.
Exactly.
No, I'm not doing that. So anyway,
I'm here for it. Whatever way you figure out to make it happen, it'd be fun to see, right?
Yeah, right. It'd be fun to see Wade fall over backwards trying to lift Noah. Just seeing me try to lift my 17-year-old son would be funny enough.
Yeah, it's like probably 12 years ago, whatever. I had a Facebook profile. It's been longer than that now that I think about it. But I had a Facebook profile picture of me dunking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was at my sister's, and she's got one of the crank goals, you know, that you can lower.
That's what we have.
So I just have my nephew come in from underneath, right?
Right.
And take a picture of me, just my upper half, and nobody knows how high that goal was. They can judge by the fact that I'm dunking that it's not 10 feet.
Sure, right.
But nobody knows that it was that I was standing on the ground and shot from, you know, waist up with my, you know, hands on the ball in the rim.
Are you saying that things posted on social media could be possibly deceiving?
They could.
What?
It's a shocking, it's a second shocking revelation of the
day. You are kidding me. That cannot be real. Actually, it's not. That's true. It's not real at all. There you go. Well, technology can do a lot of fun things. And it might save me from throwing out my back.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm all for it. By the way, we've been talking about the Beloit Minneapolis girls coming down to a coin flip. Beloit girls lost that flip. So that means the Beloit boys will play Minneapolis Monday, first round of sub-state in 3 a.m. at Beloit at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, Beloit girls will be at Minneapolis at 7 o'clock. Well, both those games for you next Monday and Tuesday on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. We have 1A sub-state play coming up tomorrow night. We got Lakeside Rock Hills.
Yep, pregame 6:50, tip 7 o'clock. For the boys game tomorrow.
And then Friday we'll have girls.
Clifton Clyde, Lakeside at Clifton Clyde, same times.
There you go. So we got sub-state games tomorrow, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and then we'll start having probably some doubleheaders Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. State wrestling reports this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Locker room chats tonight. Dear Lord, is there anything that we're not doing? Oh, that's right. I'm not lifting my 17-year-old son to dunk a basketball. And not sleeping. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at kieferbrothers.com.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.